I want to just start out with a couple words from the Lord that I felt I had. One was a word, it sounds kind of stern. It's not like I felt like it was that stern, but it's a word to wake up. Wake up, servants of the word. And that the Lord wants to jar us awake. That's part of what he wants to do during the Advent season, is to give us a nudge, give us a little punch, an elbow punch or something. Not that we're fully asleep, but the image that I had is being in a lecture in college. And you know how your eyes just kind of glass over.
We're not going to be that for you.
And then I thought, well, that's what I'm going to see, you know. And that there may be some areas in our life where we're like that, and the Lord wants to jar us awake. The other thing is, as I was on my walk this morning and thinking about our Lord's Day and what the Lord might want to say, and the idea came to me that among all of the men on the face of the earth, we should be among the most zealous.
Amen.
Among all the men. Because of the work of the Holy Spirit among us, because of the way, the decisions that we've made, the leadership that the Lord has given us, the teachings, our covenant that he's given to us, all those things work together, brothers, and we should be among the most zealous men on the face of the earth. And I dare say that we fall a little short. I think we do. I mean, I'm pointing to myself. So let's allow this season to stir us to greater zeal and to not be content, to not be willing to be mediocre in our zeal, but we should be very zealous. Thursday was a special day for me. I was seeking the Lord for some focus on the upcoming year because it was my birthday. And just 59, so it's not a big year. And I was also thinking about Advent. And I felt like the Lord was calling me to take on his burden in a greater way. And so what I want to do is just give some reflections and some thoughts that I have about taking on the burden of the Lord. And hopefully doing that in a way that will inspire us towards Advent as well. It's no coincidence that I was thinking along those lines, because in my scripture reading right now, I'm reading about Elijah and Elisha. Is it Elisha or is it Elisha?
Yes.
Okay. I thought that was the answer. All right, I may use both, but I tend to say Elisha. When I think of Elijah, I always think of John the Baptist as well. So I'm going to get to John the Baptist in a little bit. But first, I want to talk a little bit about Elijah. And Elijah was a great example for us of a man who took on the burden of the Lord. He was very zealous, or it says very jealous, which if you're taking the PTI right now, you know is basically the same word, zealous and jealous for the honor and glory of the Lord. Let me read 1 Kings 19. This is speaking about Elijah. He came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away." And I believe that's a word of the Lord for us. I have been very jealous for the Lord of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant. Elijah was compelled by his zeal or by his jealousy for the rightful honor and glory of the Lord to take up a great burden for the Lord. It was this burden that compelled him then to do many of the things that he did. The honor and glory of the Lord was being disgraced, and Elijah couldn't just stand there. He had to do something about it because of this burden the Lord gave him. We know that one of Elijah's most well-known actions or events was when he challenged the prophets of Baal, when he pitted the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob against Baal. And fire came down and consumed Elijah's sacrifice. And then he led the people of Israel in killing all 450 of the prophets. What a slaughter on that day. Now, Elijah didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do the whole thing. He didn't have to kill the 450, but that was in the Lord's plan. But the whole thing, he didn't have to do it. Now, to Elijah, it didn't seem like anyone else was going to do that. As a matter of fact, he felt very much alone. He thought he was the only one in Israel, but he was the only one in Israel that opposed the prophets. We don't see anybody else with him in that scene. It's Elijah against all 450 of them, plus lots of other people around him who were spectators and were probably willing to tear him from limb to limb if it didn't work out the way it did. But Elijah couldn't abide the dishonoring of the Lord and the unfaithful state of God's people. His zeal and his jealousy for the purity and faithfulness of the people of the Lord compelled him to take action. I want to jump to John the Baptist. John the Baptist is said to have come in the spirit and power of Elijah. God had said in Malachi, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes." And in speaking about John the Baptist, Jesus says, "And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come." The Jewish people were looking for the actual Elijah, and in this case, it was John the Baptist that came. It says in Luke 3, "The word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness." The word of God came to him in the wilderness. He was already in the wilderness. "And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism for the forgiveness of sins." And then we get a lot of examples of the kind of zeal and the expression of the burden that John the Baptist had for the Lord and for the people of the Lord. He is calling them to a great deal of purity and repentance and obedience to the Lord. So John the Baptist is another example, a great example for us of someone who took up the burden of the Lord. And I want us to notice that what compelled him to preach was the word of the Lord coming to him, the word of God coming to him. It says he was already in the wilderness. The word came to him in the wilderness. So he was already in the wilderness. And that's when he started preaching. But it was the word of God that took that burden that he had and compelled him to take action. Going to move on in a minute, talk a little bit about the prophetic call that the Lord's given to us. But I want us to note one other thing in the stories about Elijah and Elisha. And Elisha took up the mantle of Elijah in carrying the burden of the Lord. That although Elijah thought he was by himself, he wasn't. He was the only one when he fought the prophets. But in fact, God says that he had preserved 7,000 others who had not bowed the knee to Baal and whose mouth had not kissed him. That really gets to me. I don't know if they actually did that, but spiritually they did that. They kissed his hand. So there were a lot of others that were being faithful in Israel. In addition, there seems to have been groupings of prophets that lived some kind of common life within Israel at that time. And we see that when Elijah is going to be taken away, they go from city to city, and there's these groups of prophets that come out and tell Elisha, "Do you know that your father is going to be taken today?" So we see it there. And it appears that if in a whole number of places there were these brotherhoods of prophets. And In 2 Kings, it talks a lot about Elisha and his relationships with what are called the sons of the prophets. And it appears that they ate meals together, they reside together, they obviously serve the Lord together, they place themselves under the leadership of leaders of the prophets. It sounds to me a lot like the servants of the word. And I think what we have here is brotherhoods of prophets that are all seeking and are holding together the burden of the Lord. I encourage you to read from 1 Kings 19 on to 2 Kings about 8 or 9. I'd encourage you to read those stories during Advent because they're great examples of zeal that the Lord wants for his servants, wants for his prophets. Okay. Lately, we haven't talked much about the prophetic, the fact that we're a prophetic brotherhood. At least I haven't heard a lot about that. I think it comes out in a lot of ways in our prayers and in our sharings and in our songs. But I think we used to talk more about the fact that we're a prophetic brotherhood, that there's a way that the word of the Lord is supposed to come through our life to God's people and to others that's prophetic in its utterance. We used to talk about John the Baptist, and we still have John the Baptist as being one of the examples of what we want to be prophetically, to prepare God's people for the coming of the Lord. And I think in a prophetic sense, we can use Elijah as an example for us of someone who carried the burden for the Lord for God's glory and honor, and someone who carried a burden of the Lord for the purity and repentance and renewal of God's people. A prophet speaks the word of the Lord. You know, a prophet isn't just somebody that's foretelling the future. That's what a lot of people think. But a prophet speaks the word of the Lord with anointing, with unction. And the Lord wants our lives to speak the word of the Lord in the same way. And sure, he wants us to do that verbally. He wants us to be men who can speak his word to other men and women. But in a powerful way, the life of our brotherhood itself should speak the word of the Lord to the people around us and God's people as a whole. A prophet is zealous for the honor and glory of the Lord. He's jealous for it. A prophet burns with the burden of the Lord. He carries it with him, and it compels him to live solely for the honor and the glory of the Lord. We have this kind of zeal, this kind of burden for the glory and honor of the Lord, right at the heart of our ideal. It says in our covenant, we want to be unflaggingly zealous for the Lord, desiring to see the whole universe acknowledge him and give him the glory that he deserves. A prophet zealously is burdened by any assault on the honor and glory of the Lord. He's zealous for that in his own personal life. Whenever he sees something that's not in giving glory and honor to the Lord, he's zealous to change that. But he's zealous to see the honor and glory of the Lord among the Lord's people and among the whole world. And we talk about the whole universe we want to see give glory to the Lord. A prophet embraces the Lord's burdens and makes it his own. And then they carry that burden, a prophetic burden, in their hearts. And it moves them to live zealously for the Lord's honor and glory and to do what they can to see that God is honored among his people and among others. So what does it mean to carry a burden? I was thinking about just carrying a normal burden. You know, there's a spiritual, prophetic burden that we're talking about. What about carrying a normal burden? It's carrying something heavy and taking it somewhere. I was thinking of Brian Lalonde and my backpacking trips, where we have a burden and we're taking it somewhere. And there's a good reason. There's something good at the end of that carrying of the burden. And hopefully whenever we carry a burden, it's for some good reason. Another thing about carrying a burden is that it has to be intentional. There's no reason that you would carry a burden if you didn't need to. And so when we carry a burden, any kind of burden, it's something that we choose to do. Now, some things that are involved in carrying a burden. First of all, you get preoccupied with it. You can't stop thinking about it. It's a burden. You don't forget a burden, and it captures your attention. It's something that's on your mind while you're carrying it. A burden is agitating. It's not something comfortable. It gets at you. You suffer under it. You carry it willingly only because there's some good. And finally, it's provoking. A burden you want to do something with. You don't want to just leave it on you. It provokes you to do something. Having the Lord's burden is like all those things. It's like all of those things. Okay, prophets are burdened. Prophets are burdened with zeal and jealousy for the Lord. When we say that as a brotherhood, we should have a burden for the Lord, we want to be burdened with zeal and jealousy. Now, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir. I think we just had a prayer time when we heard a lot of that kind of prayer and prophecy coming forth. But I still have to say it because that's in my talk notes. Yeah. But that's truly what we are called to carry in our burden is a zeal for and jealousy for the Lord's honor and glory. A burden for the Lord to reign everywhere. A burden for His greater glory. A burden for the fulfillment of His kingdom. A burden for justice to be accomplished on the face of the earth. So I want to mention four areas in which we can take up the burden of the Lord, to take up a prophetic burden that the Lord would have us take. And I have the four written there on your handout, but there's actually five. But we're not going to go into that one because that would be the topic of another talk. And that's taking up our brother's burdens. And we just read a section of our covenant where it said that we should take up our brother's burdens. But we're talking about the burden of the Lord. The brother's burden is also a burden of the Lord. But four burdens that I think that we can take up and that we can ask the Lord to give us more of during the Advent season. The first is a burden for greater personal righteousness and holiness. The zeal for the Lord and for His kingdom starts with us. We want to have zeal to see His work accomplished in a greater way in our personal lives. We want to fight to be more triumphant in our lives. To be triumphant over our temptations, over our areas of weakness, over our fears. So, taking on the burden that the Lord has for us in zeal, in jealousy, being jealous for the Lord's work in us personally is the first burden. The second burden is a burden for God's word and to see it accomplished in the world. Like Elijah and John the Baptist, the word of God comes to us. It came to John the Baptist in the wilderness. It comes to us, and it gives us a burden. It's a burden to let His truth and commandments weigh on us in a greater way, to let the power of His word stir us to seek His kingdom, to seek His glory and honor throughout all creation. It's a burden to hear God's word, to be affected by it, and then to be able to speak that word, both verbally and through our lives. I was struck by a verse in Jeremiah 23. Is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer which breaks the rock in pieces? That's a powerful word. And that's the word of the Lord that we want to have a burden for at work in our own lives and in the lives of the world and the church. Okay, the third burden is a burden for the purity, repentance, and renewal of God's people, the Holy Church of Christ Jesus. We live in a day of weakness, in some places a day of apostasy among the churches. And the church is confronted with warfare from within and from without. The church is in warfare. We know that. Scriptures say of Jesus, zeal for your house consumes me. We should have zeal for the Lord's house that consumes us. Jesus, coming into Jerusalem in his triumphal entry, saw Jerusalem, knew the state of affairs, and wept. He had so much zeal, so much love, that he wept. We read, rise up, O men of God. We sing, rise up, O men of God. The church of you doth wait. Rise up. Express that burden by living righteously in purity and single-heartedness for the sake of God's people and the sake of your prayers. That's one of the ways we take on the burden. It's not just living purely, with purity and righteousness and holiness for our own sake, but it's for the sake of God's people. And then praying and interceding for the church, praying for your local church, praying for your denomination, praying for God's people as a whole. And then the fourth burden is a burden for the lost. Taking on the heart of the Lord for all of his people, for those that he came to save, for those that he died for. Reaching out to them, being a light to them, carrying in our heart the burden the Lord feels for his creatures who are lost. So, brothers, let's be prophets who carry the burden of the Lord. Let's be more a prophetic witness to the church and the world of the kingdom of God. Let's be a brotherhood, and as a brotherhood, take on the role of Elijah and John the Baptist. And let's let Advent be a time when we go into the wilderness and allow the Word to come to us. Just like John the Baptist, he was in the wilderness with a burden for the Lord and the Word came to him. Let's let Advent be something like that for us. Let's leave behind some of the things in our life so that we can retreat away to be with the Lord so that he can speak to us and so that we can take on his burden. Matthew 11 says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And on the other hand, the burden of the Lord is very heavy. But that's what we're called to. Anytime you fulfill your calling, it's joy and it's light. So taking on more a burden of the Lord is light. And then carrying that burden with all the things that I described, it is that goes into carrying a burden, in the power of the Holy Spirit, which he gives us to carry that burden, is a light thing. Isaiah 9 says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The Lord has zeal to give us the zeal that he wants. He wants to accomplish that, and he will accomplish it among us. So let's, this Advent season, let's embrace the burden of the Lord. Let's allow him to speak through us as his sons of the prophets, as his men who have a prophetic call, and be able to allow us personally and corporately as a brotherhood to be prophetic to the world and to God's people. Amen.